Hey everybody, welcome back to the producers. This week's episode, we have Lori, and I think for the first time in, golly, since I changed the format, I think it's the first time we've gone over 2 hours. I'm not 100% sure, I have to double check, but you know, the last episodes were like an hour 50-ish each or something. So it's really kind of, it's good. It's good to see the show kind of devolving back to creativity and also long-winded conversations that I absolutely adore. This was a really fun one. I haven't really talked to somebody that I don't know very well on this show. I've done it on the live show a couple times, but those are very different. So it's really nice to kind of get back to that aspect of the show, and I really do appreciate it. I don't want anyone to think otherwise. we'll get to the plugs. Follow Lori on Instagram. I want to quickly make sure that I know exactly what it is. You think I'd prepare and be ready. But she posts a lot of fun things that she makes on her Instagram, pocket_crackers. Go give it a follow. It's great. It's very fun. And then other plugs, rvacomedy.com and RVA Comedy on social media. Go see some shows. They're very funny. Sometimes I'm in them. RVA Podcast. We talked about it last episode. Gonna give it a little more. Just launched a couple weeks ago. We have an Instagram and a website. Website is Bear. Looking for someone to help me get that going, or just wants to fuck around and try and see what we got. Definitely down. If you have your own idea for a podcast, hit us up at rvapodcast@gmail.com or on the Instagram. Let us know. We'll talk to you about your idea, and we'll see how we can help and try to make this a very fun thing for you. If you have your own current podcast, I didn't forget to mention this. If you have your own podcast and you just want to be included under the network, if you'd like to be a part of the network, we can definitely figure something out, with how that would even work. 'Cause this is all new to me. So we're all learning in this instance. Definitely just hit us up at that email or on Instagram. I think there might be something on the website, but I don't know. Like I said, it's all new to me. I think that's it for plugs. Orbital Music Park. They're doing some stuff. I'm waiting patiently, you guys. I'd love to see the space done. It's going to be amazing. I know that. Go check out their Instagram. They're posting all kinds of cool pics. Yeah, wow. Long intro series is starting up, I guess. This is not quick. Last one was 4 minutes. Almost 4 minutes. 3.9 minutes. This one's got to be in that same boat. Well, then I will stop that now because I'm basically just going on. Thank you so much for listening. Here is Lori. Sometimes I feel like a house by the shore. Some little kind of resort that you resort to when you get bored. Am I the surf?
Thank you
for doing the show. Oh, make yourself comfortable at home. The whole nine. I'm so glad I showered because I would have been covered in like my hair.
I wanted you to have like little hair clippings on your neck or something. Well, your haircut looks amazing.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Elliot Wegman, future friend of the show. Yeah, I didn't know he cut hair until after soccer one day. I was like, I need to get my hair cut. He's like, well, you know, I cut hair. And I'm just like, yes. Have you met Elliot?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I know I have. Yes.
All right. Phone is... Stop bugging me. Oh, my goodness. This is so funny because you were... I don't remember if you were... If you really wanted to do the show, or if you were in a group of people who were talking about it, and you're like, "Oh, sure, okay," but I remember I basically took it as that you were like, "I want to do it." I'm like, "Oh, that's so great."
I'm in. I don't know either. It might have been Angela impersonating me.
I feel
this
like
is she, all for her.
Oh, this is for this is for you, Angela. She's a friend of the show. Well, I'm so glad you're doing it. I wanted to actually first ask you about New Orleans. Because, get comfortable. I usually keep it about 6 inches away. And you have a quiet voice, so it might be good.
I'm a mumbler.
I'm a mumbler. I have like this, if I'm not paying attention, I have this like slur that I kind of go into. Just like 40 words come out as like three. So, so it's funny because you went with Kale and he was on right before y'all were going. Mm-hmm. And so now people get some closure.
Oh, I have to give the review. Yeah, we can close that out. We went to 1,000 Figs.
Oh my gosh.
Mediterranean place. And it was so good. And it's an adorable little place.
Oh my
gosh.
And
we all like cried because we were so happy. And then my coworker went this past weekend.
To New Orleans?
Mm-hmm. And I told her to go there, and she did.
And
she thought it was good.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yes, that restaurant is, without a doubt, one of the most special places to me. And
that is so sweet.
Oh, my gosh. And Kale brought back Tomb. I don't know if I mentioned it on the show, but he brought back this sauce that is just emulsified oil and garlic, and it's just like...
Yeah.
It's so simple. I could easily make it.
I think we were making a scene with how happy we were.
Oh.
We were like, this is amazing.
They love
please,
that, though.
Please.
They love that.
And then, we said we knew you, and Kale said, you like Tomb? She was like, I'll just get you some. Which is fine, but then we were like, should we refrigerate it? Because we're about to get on a plane. But,
it worked out. I've had a bunch of it already.
Okay.
It's so good.
It's really good.
I had it with pizza, I had it with fries, and then I had it with more pizza.
Oh, nice. It's very good.
I just had someone actually when you guys gave it to me. I just was like, so good. I could have done that with all of it. Oh my gosh, that's what I used to eat when I was sick.
Oh nice, just that?
You just eat.
It's mostly garlic.
No, I made it. It's mostly oil.
Oh really?
They put a bunch of garlic in, and then you turn on like a Cuisinart, and you just pour oil in with other like a couple other things, and it just emulsifies. Yeah, fluffs out.
Weird.
It's really easy to fuck it up. I did that a bunch. Really easy to mess up. You have to like be very careful, very diligent.
Maybe that's like mayonnaise or something. Making fresh mayonnaise.
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, I have made that, and it's been good, and I've made it, and it's been bad.
Oh, gosh.
But I don't know.
So how else was it? Was it any cool, anything else?
It was good. It was weird. We were staying there with a friend who was not that familiar with the area. He had gone through med school in part there, and he lived like way outside the city by like the airport. And then everything that we mentioned on our like tourism list, he's like, no, I don't know, I've never really been there.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. And I know that like, he's been busy or whatever.
Sure.
But it was cool to have him there, but then also to be a tourist too. Or, like, look at the city that you already live in.
Mm-hmm.
But it was cool. We went on a swamp tour.
I heard about that. That was something I never did.
It was so weird. It was so funny. Oh, hello.
Is that Floyd?
Yeah.
The orange boy? Yeah. He's a sweetie.
There was just this, like, bayou man. he had, like, the thickest accent ever. His name was Captain T. Tom. He was with Cajun Swamp Tours. If you Google him, you can find him talking. it's the best. I recorded, like, the whole thing.
Just because.
I was like, I would pay, I think it was like $20. I was like, I'll pay whatever just to hear him talk and talk. And he never stopped. And he said, like, really, so I could never mimic the accent, but he said, like, really folksy things, like, when the moon fills up, then the crawdads will come out and stuff. It was...
When moon fills up.
It was amazing. It was amazing.
Yeah. I luckily never picked up that accent. The only thing I got from New Orleans was y'all. I say that all the time.
Okay. I sometimes say that. I'm a Yankee.
Oh. You're from Pittsburgh.
Yeah. You have a little Steelers gnome. I spent some time on your porch. You have a little... Are you a Steelers?
Big Steelers fan. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, my granddad's from Pittsburgh, so.
Okay, I knew that.
One of the first things I learned about you guys is that way back when I first met you, was that y'all came from Pittsburgh, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Yenzal came from Pittsburgh.
Yenzal.
Yeah.
Yellow Bridges and Andy Warhol.
Yeah, I say I'm from Pittsburgh, which is sort of true, depending on how far away I am. I grew up like an hour north.
That's not bad.
In the woods.
I'd give it to you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it wasn't until, so we grew up there, all my friends and I just, like, couldn't find anything fun to do. We just, like, filled our time with, like, setting sticks on fire and stuff. And then we got driver's licenses, and I was like, Mom, please, we're going to drive to Pittsburgh. Then I was like, this is the easiest drive. This is so stupid. Why? Yeah, why did my parents never take me?
To go?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Probably because it's an hour there, an hour back. I face the same dilemma with seeing my family because they're an hour north. Okay. So, like, I love seeing them, but, like, it's 2 hours of traveling for a couple hours of hanging, and usually they're busy doing, like, their life stuff.
Is that Fredericksburg?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's actually literally hour door to door. I love it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And that's not bad usually because that's where the traffic begins.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go, actually, so, yeah, I get off, like, exit 136, and around 123 is when this starts. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unpleasant.
Oh, gosh, it's so weird. I went through D.C. once, and I think we left at the right time, like, 3 o'clock, we passed D.C., and I was like, oh, this could be way worse.
Yeah, well, the drive to Pittsburgh is 6 hours, I think, but then... And that's going around. That's going through, like, Winchester.
Yeah, so you're probably not going
to
go up.
But one time we forgot to do that, and we went through D.C., and it was, like, under 5 hours. It was insane. But I wouldn't like to risk it. Because we could be stuck.
So I feel like we have to introduce you.
I know. This is really fascinating talk about traffic. the exit. I can't remember which exit. I think I do.
Some people are here 95. For the numbers.
95. Then we do, is it 17 that's next?
I think so.
I think it's 17, then maybe a Sounds little bit right. of, oh man, what is, anyway.
So you're Lori.
I'm Lori.
The funny thing is you've been showing up in my, like, suggested Facebook friends for a while, and I'm like, because your hair is short in your profile picture. I'm like,
oh, sure.
I didn't recognize it. Yeah. I didn't put two together until recently. And then I was making your guest, like, little thing on my website.
Yeah.
And I was like, I gotta go find a picture, and then... I was like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah,
I changed. So that picture is very old. That was 2 short haircuts ago.
Two.
But I change my hair often, and it makes me, from what I could tell, completely unrecognizable.
Yeah, absolutely. I would second that.
Because I get ID'd, and then I used to have my ID. I had, like, dark hair and straight across bangs.
Uh-huh. Is
that the picture? They were like, that's not you. That's not and you. I was like, I don't know what to tell you. Please, I'm sorry.
It's my ID.
I was, like, smiling next to it. And I used to keep, like, an array of IDs to be like, it's just the hair. Look at the face.
I can relate so hard to that because my driver's license is from senior year of high school.
Okay.
So, like, I have long hair, no glasses, and, like, a lot thinner in the face, no beard. And it's just a completely different person.
I don't know. Like, I stole all of her identity, at least.
Yeah, I got every year.
Every single thing.
So, the first thing that I love about your, because with this show, you've listened to this show before.
Mm-hmm.
I've been recently trying to get back into the idea of talking about creativity.
Yeah.
And really trying to do it, but it always goes off into talking about, like, traffic or, like, Whitney Houston. So that's normal. That's, like, something that totally happens. One of the things that I learned about you is your Instagram page.
Oh.
Where you, like, post all your knitting.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a level of creativity that I don't think I will ever reach.
Oh.
Because I feel like...
Thank you.
Well... If only because specifically when you do that, I feel like you have a finished product in mind.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that you say that because everything that I make is small enough to finish by design. Because I can make a hat in approximately 1 episode of Queer Eye. And I am not good at, like, picking it up later and finishing it. One time I was like, I'm going to make a scarf. And I made half a scarf. This was maybe in high school. I made half a scarf. Was like, I'm never going to finish this. And I put it in a bag and I put, like, a $1 sticker on it. And I tried to sell it in a yard sale. And then my grandma adorably bought it and finished it for me and then gave it back to me. but they are, like, smaller projects because I leave things undone. Like crazy.
Well, there's something I can definitely relate to with this show. It's like, I don't do any editing and I set it up so that it's easy so that I can do
God,
it.
God, yeah. And you just want to have something done. And that's the other thing. So I, for a while, and I would still like to, but I had like an Etsy site set up, and I like to have that. But what I like to do is make little crafts and make like little paintings or crochet a hat or whatever. But what I hate doing is taking a picture of it that looks good, listing it, and most of all, packaging it up and putting it, taking it to the post office. I just like hate that.
That sounds like a
the post office by my house is open from 9:30 to 10:45, then from like 1:30 to 3, I think.
Those are some small windows.
Isn't that insane? Because I took a half day off work once, and I was like, I can finally get to the post office, and I went at 11, and they were closed. So anyway, I love complaining about the post office. I'm ready to segue over there. No, but it is like that Instagram. I like intentionally sort of take bad pictures. I mean, they're fine, but I just like, I think I get so caught up in like making a good finished product.
Sure.
That I was like, I'm not selling it. I'm not, I don't know.
Because everything you've posted, you've been like giving away or something.
Yeah, I do give a lot of stuff away. And I have sold stuff on Etsy. One time I made a basket out of this weird like hemp rope thing. It was a giant basket. It was like really big. And I listed it on Etsy. And I was like, man, I'm really proud of this. I'm not going to sell it unless somebody wants to pay like $200 or something. And then somebody bought it. And I was like, oh, sorry. There's no way I can ship this. It's going to be like $50 to ship. And then she sent me $50. And then I was like, what the fuck? And then she said, can you make another one? And I was like, absolutely not. she's like, I would really like another one. And I was like, I have no idea where to get that rope.
Oh my
sorry.
Where did you get the first rope?
Kale's mother's attic or something. I don't know where it came from.
Oh my gosh, you guys are the best.
But yeah, that was my big success story.
Damn.
So I just think it's harder to like promote it or like curate, I think.
Sure.
So I like to finish stuff.
I feel like I'm trying to like relate it to this project for me, because I'm trying to like see exactly how you're looking at it. And for me, it's like I'll like post like a picture on like an Instagram and like do little tiny bits to promote it. But otherwise it's just like, I like doing this. I like finishing it. Kind of like, yeah. Kind of like you were saying. And then like, if it works out, it kind of works out.
Yeah. And maybe it would be really cool if you like put a ton of time in editing, but then I don't know. That's the stuff that I procrastinate.
I can't tell you how many times, because the show comes on Wednesdays, 8 o'clock in the morning, so I can't tell you how many times I have been up late Tuesday, and even one time, Wednesday morning, I finished an episode.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's just like, oh my gosh. Sometimes it is a little hard to like do the work behind making an episode. I'm sure like making like a hat or something. Like. But and this is one of my favorite things to talk about with like doing a creative thing for like a job, like Sean Hanbright.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to him about it because he does creative stuff for work, and I was like, how does it feel doing creative things all day and then coming home and still wanting to do these creative things?
Yeah.
And so like imagine like at the Etsy store was like your job, and like your whole job is making these hats, scarves, baskets, whatever. Like, eventually, that's going to be like
you need a break
grading
from that,
and then now it's work,
kind
of thing.
Yeah, for sure. What did he say?
He said it's a different kind of thing. I mean, because he does a lot more technical aspects. Like, he's not a director; he's like a technical guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know exactly. And also, I think by that point, I was a little drunk because he brought this really intense wine.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember exactly what he said. I'm sure we can go back. But it was something to the effect of, like, it's a different kind of thing, I believe. And I think that's, even if that's something he said, that's what I pulled away, where it's just, like, yeah, he's up there doing, like, video stuff, but when it comes to, like, directing an improv show, it's, like, that's a whole different kind of thought. And it's also something you come home and are excited to do.
Yeah.
And I would rather be excited to go to work and do one thing and then come home and do another thing.
Yeah. My job is so uncreative.
What do you do?
I work on the data team of the HIV/AIDS clinic at VCU.
That sounds very good.
Thanks. That's my pitch. That's
my bitch.
I just stare at spreadsheets all day. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I like it. I like dabble in programming stuff, and I think that's not creative. I think, but it is like you come to a result, like you put a bunch of shit in, you tell the computer what to think, and then like doesn't work all day, and then it works and it's amazing, and then I'm like, I'm a genius. I was trying to learn Python, and then that went on hold whenever I started taking more classes, but I was like making this really stupid program that was like calculate the like perimeter of all different shapes.
And
then
cool.
It was like you just enter like square and then it's like the sides. And then I made my program like print out like I am so smart. I'm a computer. The perimeter is this. And then I realized that it was all wrong anyway. So all of those computer-y efforts get really cocky because I'm like, I'm a hero. I got this computer to do one thing. But I'm doing it because previously, like whenever I was onboarded on this job, they were just like, you're the robot. And so I'm just trying to automate myself out of a job.
Oh, yeah. The work of any good programmers to program yourself out of a job or whatever, something like that.
I'm nowhere near that, but I'm still... Well, mostly... So I'm nowhere near that because I suck at programming, but also because like every single like institution I work with is still in like the 80s. They like fax me back spreadsheets and stuff.
They fax you?
Yeah. They're like, what's your fax number? I'm like, no. No thanks. Or like all of the hospital billing is paper. So they like... They mail me. I work exactly in the building next to the hospital. So they mail me with stamps or whatever. I have to open the mail for each bill.
That sounds very uncreative. But I like the idea of you looking at your certain other things. I like the programming aspects as kind of a creative thing. I feel like with creativity, it's sort of a problem solving of having nothing and then creating something maybe.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like with programming, like I feel the same way with like whenever I have like a spreadsheet that I'm working on that I really want to like make pretty and automated and all that, like, you're like solving a problem and then like it makes like, and I use a lot of conditional formatting, so it's often very, very pretty.
That's funny. I think my like overarching goal is to like communicate things that like reach people where they're at. So even though my work is super boring, I'm like putting a lot of thought into who is getting the spreadsheet because a lot of the people that I work with are really intimidated by it and they're, you know, long lists and stuff. So I'm always like, not red, but pink means that you are like all of, I just try to make a lot of design choices that, I don't know, make them resent me less.
See, that sounds
sending
so
them
cool.
A bunch of nonsense.
How do you think you would deal with a creative job, like if you had to be creative all day for money?
Yeah, I don't know. My last job was research, which was not at all creative. It was very repetitive, which is sort of why I left it.
Sounds like my job.
It was super repetitive because it was a study, and so. And I was blinded to every single study, so I did the same thing no matter what.
Uh-huh.
But before that, in college, I had a job where I was working a whole, like, 8 hours a week. But we were decorating cupcakes and cakes. And it was a blast. But I do think that I would hate it if I was doing it full-time.
40 hours a week.
I'm like, you get tired of cake and...
Doing the same thing.
Yeah. Like, why is everyone buying fancy cakes? They were really, it was so much fun. And I learned so much about cake decorating. And I learned about, like, I don't know, I think I just like to keep my hands busy. And it's so fun to do, like, really small, tiny things. I don't know why. But I love that cake job. But I also do not envy my boss there at all. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, she's having a great time and... She's doing amazing work. But then also, like, you have to just work so hard on, like, weekends and holidays. And I don't know. She does amazing stuff, but I think it would get stale for me.
I feel like the people who wouldn't get stale are the people who are very passionate about that. Mm-hmm. Like someone who really loves decorating cakes could do that.
Yeah, and I think so. I have been crocheting a lot of hats lately, but I also think whenever I see people that identify as artists, they have their thing, their body of work.
Their backlog. And
maybe they go through different phases, but they have a finished product and an inventory or a whole theme that they have. And I think I don't like to adhere to that.
Oh, interesting.
Just because I get bored. I don't know.
Do you ever kind of work with themes? What else do you dabble in creatively other than the crocheting? You mentioned painting.
Yeah. I have painted a couple little things. Nothing huge. Kale and I have collaborated on some where he draws this freaky human and I just watercolor it or something. I was doing these little drawings of mice many years ago, but I still had them. So some people found them just on my fireplace. But they were mice doing things. So that was the project that I had. They're little tiny cards, but it was just a mouse shopping for hats and mouse swimming. I was drawing mice a lot because I was working in a lab. I was working with mice and rats.
That's so cool.
So that was the thing that I thought was funny, practicing drawing mice.
The cutest little card, just a mouse wearing tiny. A hat in front of a shelf of hats.
Yeah. It's a lot like that. Yeah, those are very old and getting all wrinkled, but I kept those. So I go through phases sometimes, but I don't know. None of it is stuff that is consistent. And also, I don't really even like a lot of the stuff that I make because I think I make a lot of very cutesy things. I'm I don't want that in my house.
So what you're saying is you're not tied, just like you're not tied to a theme, you're not tied to any kind of medium, drawing, painting, all this stuff.
No, so Kale's mother is a mosaic artist.
Mm-hmm, the stained glass?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I scooped up some glass from their yard and brought it here, and I made a couple mosaics. I have one that's halfway done. So I was doing that for a while, too. What I really want to do is wood carving, but I don't have the tools. And my papa has the tools because he always did it. And he's 94. And I was can I have the tools? You know. And he's we'll see. And then...
We'll see.
I was you're not even using them. but he says he has the most important tool, a sharpener. So that's a grandpa thing to say.
That's true. I feel like if you have a sharpener, you can sharpen any tool, make it useful.
I've tried to hint a little, sure would some wood carving tools. And he's I bet you would.
You should get some.
I should, yeah. Yeah. It's I like it too. I don't know why. That's just something that, I think I'm interested in things that are a little less accessible.
Sure.
Because it's easy to buy paint and paint. I think that's accessible. Maybe not painting so well or critically acclaimed, but you can buy markers and you can draw.
Produce a colored picture.
Yeah, and you can, I don't know, you can make things. But then ceramics, Kale and I took a ceramics class and it was awesome. But then you have to have access to glazes and a kiln and...
All that stuff.
That's I don't know. That seems a different level.
Too inaccessible.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
and then
easy,
like.
Easy, hard, and then the middle.
Right.
Is
and it's accessible through money.
Oh, yeah. You get wood carving tools, it needs a hatchet and a forest.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. We had a really good time in the ceramics class, but I don't know. I don't know when to do that again.
Yeah. How would you do that again? Because I feel very similar with stand up. Mm-hmm. Where, because I'm in the stand-up class now, and it's once that's over, I think this episode comes out a week before the last show. When am I going to realistically do this again? an open mic, like open mics open mics are very weird because the only people who go to them are like other people who are about to go on or have already gone on, or like three people who were at that bar before anyone showed up. So it's just like, when this thing, this art is really fun to do. Like if you had access to all that stuff, it'd be like, oh hell yeah, I'm gonna make all kinds of shit. But then like without that access, without that class.
Yeah. Well, with the class, you have the perfect audience too.
Yeah.
People who appreciate it. People who maybe know you or someone else, but then also like people who are ready and laughing and
any kind of coalition audience is just
harder in an empty crowd of like people who actually don't want to listen to you. They just want to have a beer,
tell their own jokes.
Oh yeah, that
the,
too.
The comics on ugly. Okay, so wood carving is something I love.
I never have done it.
So. The vibe I'm getting is you're interested and willing to do pretty much any kind of like art.
Yeah. I think I would like to. I'm just trying to try it out.
What was, I realize I've been getting away from these questions. What was your first creative moment?
Oh, Kale told me to prepare for this one and I wish I could say I had,
he told you to prepare. I don't think he liked it either.
No, we rehearsed the script, and I'm going totally off script so far.
Oh, no. I wish you had told me.
I could have started my monologue. We practiced this. I don't know. I have a sister who's slightly younger than me, and I think a mother who was encouraging of those sorts of things, and we're always doing creative things. So it's hard to say. We were like, mostly what we were doing is taking pieces of paper and cutting them up into little tiny pieces. And we're like, it's art, Mom. She called us the Snippet Sisters.
Ah,
that was so cute.
That's adorable.
We were just like, we just made messes, but we always had like art supplies and stuff. So it's hard to say like what my first creative thing was because so my sister's slightly younger than me and then I have cousins who are twins who are between us. So like the four of us as young kids were like, I don't know, we were such a team and we always like made shows. So that was the other thing I think that I could point to for a first creative thing because we would choreograph dances and like write plays. And we would perform them just for our parents. And then they got smarter and they were like, we would love to see your show. Does it have a beginning, a middle, and an end? We were like, not yet. And they were like, go work on that end. Because otherwise we just started to improvise because we had a captive audience. And we're like, we can make it go on for so long.
They're going to keep watching.
Yeah. And then eventually also somebody bought us like an American Girl brand play, or I don't know what it was, like a set to perform different characters in a script and stuff. So I guess they didn't like our homemade script.
Oh no, that's so funny. I never did any performance stuff, so that's like I don't know if I can even answer my own question. I don't know when I would have I don't know who I would have performed to as a child for sure.
Oh,
okay, so you're going to put it with Snippet Sisters or the quartet putting on plays.
Yeah, something like that.
I definitely can appreciate the idea of this sense that I get of like collaboration. Because I feel like a lot, you do like your own thing, but like one thing that you've like hinted at a couple times is the fact that you do collaborate. Like you collaborate with like Kale and stuff.
Yeah. I think the stuff that I make by myself, I don't know. I don't want to like talk down on it by saying it, but I think it's keeping busy. Like a lot of it is just that I want to be doing something while I'm watching a show or like, I don't know, listening to something else.
So it's less like creatively motivated and more like, this is a thing I can do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of times that's what it is. And then sometimes obviously things take more work. Crocheting specifically, you don't have to look at your hands.
Wait, what? I don't know anything about crocheting.
Well, I mean, if you get the rhythm or something, you can. It's a little harder. I sort of don't always like shows with subtitles because I'm like, man, I'm going to miss it. because I'm doing something else. That said, I don't watch a lot of shows or movies. But a lot of the little crafts that I make, it's like, it's creative, but it does feel to me like a more productive way to keep busy than just, I don't know, staring at my phone or something.
Yeah, that definitely does seem like it would yield more. I don't know. I like the idea of, because this is something I don't want to say I struggle with, but something I don't really have a lot of experience with, of like, because I would not take away the fact that it is still like a creative thing that you're doing, even if it doesn't necessarily fire off as a creative thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like the idea that that's kind of how you fill your in between times where your brain's kind of just like, and rest but be awake.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like that's what you do to like focus. That to me is just very, it just feels very cool. Not like you're cool, but you are cool, but not like it's something that I definitely would like aspire to do, but I don't have any like creative things I do that would like fill that space. Like mine's all like stage work and writing and this, if it's considered creative.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm sure that you could find some things that feel a little more productive. Like you said, just like downtime.
Sure.
That's more productive downtime. I have a therapist, and she was saying something about how if you're staring at your phone to relax, like you're not relaxing. You're like not quite there. She's like, it's not bad to stare at your phone whenever. Like if you get home from work and you're like, I just need to stare at a wall. She's like, if you are using like Reddit or something to waste time and to rest, then why don't you just take a nap?
Interesting.
So, therapy. I think it's a good thing to say. She's like, you're allowed to relax by just staring at like stupid comments on a news article, but you're not fully relaxing. So do something else that feels a little more direct.
That's so interesting, because that's one thing that I have definitely been doing. The moments where I do get to kind of sit down, I'm like, sometimes I'm just like, I just want to go and read, like, Ask Reddit posts.
It turns off your brain, and I think that's nice to just shut off your brain. But yeah, there's got to be better ways to do that.
Huh. Yeah, I figured that you come in here and challenge the way that I thought about different things. I didn't realize that would be something that I challenged. That was, like, super, fuck, like, that's something I totally do. And, like, what could I do with my time otherwise? But then, yeah, those are kind of come up empty, and I'm like, I don't really, like, I like to watch YouTube videos when I'm, like, in bed.
Yeah.
And so, like, realistically, I could just not and go to sleep earlier.
Right. I don't like that, though. So I like to stand idly by the stove and stir while I look at my phone. I don't know why.
What are you stirring? there's nothing in that.
There's an item. in this scenario, there's an item cooking on the stove. I could just like cook or not cook, but I just like stand beside it, but I stare at my phone. So I'm trying to not do that, but I think I am. I do like to, I don't know, keep busy. And for some reason, staring at my phone feels like I'm doing something, but I'm totally not.
When you're at work, how often do you look at your phone?
100% of the time.
So glad I'm not alone. I'm the same way.
It doesn't say anything. I do get texts, and I text people, and my work is pretty lenient about it. And even, like, whenever I'm really in the zone, I, like, listen to a podcast or something. I don't know why I feel like I need to multitask. And it's not even multitasking whenever one of the things is, like, a time waster, but
I think about when I did have a job and I was listening to podcasts, and it felt like, I don't know. I feel like there's, so the counter argument that I have is like, sometimes it is just very mundane. Like, it's a Reddit post about who would win in this weird Jeep versus four dudes with indestructible shovels and Adderall. Mm-hmm. Who's going to win that fight or whatever. But then sometimes it's like things that really like get my mind going, help me like get to this like really
yeah
helpful and important things.
Yeah, sometimes I think things are so interesting, and I don't think it's a waste of time, and that might be true, but it might not, because also one time I explained a podcast to Kale in great detail, and I ended it with like I didn't really like it that much, but I listened to the whole thing, and he's like, "You've listened to that one twice." And I had, but I just didn't remember it.
But so you had explained it to him?
Right,
already?
So it was like notable enough that I explained it to him twice and told him that I didn't think it was that good. But I forgot the whole second time.
That's...
So that's weird. That like my memory's not even good enough to remember the notable time wasters that I have.
Feels so... Because I worked my job... I listen to over like 150, like 2+ hour podcasts
mm-hmm.
in like a couple months, and then way more other media. I take breaks and watch like at that job, I watched every season of Parks and Rec.
Oh wow!
And I remember getting really excited on Tuesday mornings when the new episode of Criminal Minds would come out, whatever day it actually was. But like, so I spent a lot of time ingesting media at this job. Well, it was data nonsense, but like, I don't remember most of it, I'm sure. So like, I could totally see how I could listen to one of those episodes again and be like, I've never heard this.
Yeah, this but is like, really interesting. I just saw this really interesting thing.
But that's the thing that gets me too, because if it was really interesting, I wonder if I'd have the same kind of thing, because I remember little bits and pieces of like episodes that really helped me or I did find interesting. So like, what would it take for me to like listen to an episode, wait however long, and listen to it again and be like, yo, that was tight. And then someone tells me like, you listened to that one already.
Mm-hmm. And you not only did you listen to it, but you told me all about it.
You told me all about it. You didn't like it then, I'm assuming. And then you told me about it again. You didn't like it this time. How long? What could you remember what it is? I'm so curious.
The podcast? Yeah. It was an episode of Reply All, I believe.
What's Reply All?
It's a podcast about the internet. It's very good.
There's so many...
Usually.
So many good podcasts.
Yeah, there are. I think in my lab job, I could listen to anything because I was just putting mice and rats on balance beams. And I was in this big white suit and I would have my headphones in my suit. And there was like some things that I was getting into listening to and they were like 20 minutes long. But then you listen to like 6 20-minute-long things in a row, and that has not taken up much of your time. So then I'm like, I got to get into something longer. And then I think, you know, like listening to an audiobook does feel a little more productive than listening to like 8 episodes of 99% Invisible or something. But then it's less idle, you know,
mm-hmm.
than you are sort of reading.
That's so interesting.
I don't know.
And also quite a picture. I know it's like a lab setting, but I'm picturing you actually on the moon in like a spacesuit.
Oh, very nice.
Like
it's
just
not,
like juggling
it's
the way
not
rats.
Unlike that. We had like little booties on. You put on those little plastic shoe covers.
Yeah.
And then like a little bonnet on my head. It was very sweet.
Hearing that Kale, like, yeah, prepare for these questions and knowing that you listened... I want to ask you the breakfast question.
Oh, you know the answer to it.
Is it the same? Did he answer for both of you?
I guess so. Yeah.
The English muffins?
Yeah. I also eat an English muffin.
Every day. I'm so jealous.
Yeah,
that sounds so nice.
Occasionally we make like pancakes or something.
Oh my gosh.
But basically that every day. Or like if we are really tired of it, like an egg. But that's seriously, that's every couple months. I'm not sure why. On the weekends, we eat pancakes and waffles.
Oh my gosh. I got to come over for breakfast one of those days. I haven't had pancakes in like 2 years.
Oh, really? I was looking for stuff. I was like, I have to bring him a gift. But I am very frazzled. And I was like, we don't have anything. And then I saw that we had frozen waffles. And I was like, no, I can't bring those. That doesn't make any sense. I didn't eat dinner except for a very large carrot in the car.
This is not
a good gift.
The whole gifts thing is
No, please, please, no gifts. I have a beer. This one's sticky.
It is sticky.
This one's also sticky, so...
Also, there's, like, no discernible...
Yeah, this is... The interesting thing about this beer is that a couple things. I made it.
Uh-huh.
Another thing is it's a stout. The next thing is that it does not taste like a stout. And... Oh, it's room temperature. That's the other thing.
This is where we earn our comedy genre. Oh my gosh, I didn't...
It looks like there's stuff in here. That's just crumbs.
So, oh, yeah, you did say you were bringing visual gags, right?
Oh no, I wish. I wish I had. It's just cheese.
That's dangerous. Be careful.
And then this one, because, you know, we can actually just have crumbs. I really, that's really it. This is more. You can keep those. Kale cooks a lot, and I sometimes cook. But when he's not home, and he's been working in the evenings lately, when he's not home, I just eat crackers. Because it's the best.
I love that you brought a cutting board. That's...
I wasn't sure.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't...
Like I'm camping.
This is, yeah, you guys always have such good spreads whenever we come over for, like, music.
Here's the trick. It's buy everything at Aldi and then put it on a fancier plate.
And let everyone kind of figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we usually do. You guys always put on... You and Kale both put on a show.
Yeah, he's a very good host.
He brought pizza.
I know. On a bicycle.
I was impressed.
I'm glad I didn't bike here. I was considering it, but I could barely manage to drive. It seems like everyone bikes here when they're on the show, from what I can tell.
I'm going to have to dispel that. It's not very
true.
Is
this loud?
I think it's the loudest this episode's been.
That's it. It's just crumbs. This is going to be impossible to talk while
something crunchy. This is good. This is, well, I'm trying to think of, actually last episode, my buddy Will ate a sandwich. We ate pizza. Chris made me dinner.
So Chris, I aspire to be, I was thinking about Chris's podcast. He was so prepared. I wish I had, a list, about some critiques of the show, which is what he brought with him.
Yeah,
sort of.
Yeah, he brought a computer and it like folded back. He's like, and the whole episode was about not him. He basically hosted, and it was me and
Matthew.
That's
so funny. I was delighted because when I listened to it, for some reason, I feel like I hadn't talked to him much before it or something.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm going to listen to this one. I don't know a thing about this guy.
You still don't.
And he didn't. He didn't disclose anything. But that was so funny. He was so prepared. And then I noticed, I think today is his birthday.
Copley?
I think so.
I realized, after my birthday, how terrible I am with birthdays because nobody, like, Facebook doesn't tell me.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's kind of been a short-term goal of, like, I need to get something to tell me on my friend's birthdays because I felt I had, like, such a good birthday and I want, like, to contribute to other people's days. I gotta check through the show.
That's so sweet.
Happy birthday. Well, yeah, it was such a great day and everyone like made a big deal.
Yeah, I intentionally went through Facebook a while ago, put everyone's birthdays in my calendar. So now I know the day of that I should prepare something for their birthdays, which is too late. But also I'm not a crazy person. I'm not gonna put in people's birthdays for weeks in advance or something and be like, remember to mail them a card. So whatever, I'm trying to lower everyone's expectations because I have given elaborate gifts and I'm running out of ideas.
Huh. I said this is the perfect gift right here.
I think he's talking about smashed up pretzels,
pepper jack cheese. And is this a twisty deal?
Oh no, it's not. Unfortunately, no!
Huh? Don't worry, I'm prepared.
Why did you think this would happen? This beer is very foamy. But I'm about to do the same thing.
Well, there's some napkins. Thank you, Chipotle, for the napkins.
Oh no, no matter what it does it. I barely even opened it. Is that worse?
No, mine was way worse.
We'll
probably do most of the cleaning after.
This beer isn't even good.
So wait, what made you want to make beer?
Earlier this year, visited two different cities, New York City and Cleveland, and our friends there had been brewing beer, and I had this thought, like, I wish I was the kind of person that brewed my own beer. Mm-hmm. Then I was like, that's really stupid. I should just do it.
So how hard was it?
So how hard was it, he says. It's not hard. You just follow the directions. I think he's going to clean up his...
Yeah,
it smells like a frat house.
Actual like towels.
Yeah, it's very weird. So you just can buy like, I bought like the buckets and two B things, and I just use ingredient kits because I don't want to have like a big barrel of grain or something weird. This beer is really odd in flavor, but it's all I have left because the beer brewing is on a hiatus in the semester too.
Oh, really?
So this is all I have. It's a beer, but it's a stout, I mean, but it's sour.
Oh, that is a very distinct taste. I don't hate it. It's not bad.
It's not a stout.
But I'm also as someone who hasn't yet gotten to the level of appreciating the taste of beer.
That's great news for me.
I like this. This is something I would sip on, like at a social gathering.
Yeah, you should see it in like a glass. It's completely opaque, like really? Tar. I'm also not great at knowing beer. I just want to like make it and make it work. The first one I made was like essentially non-alcoholic. Tasted like beer, but weak. I was like, I almost made beer.
So you made light beer.
Yeah, yeah. And then it's gotten better, and then worse. And I think this is one of the weirdest. So this one I was brewing when it was, like, super hot.
Oh,
so it brewed for, like, way too long. Because it brewed, like, overnight.
Oh.
And I left it there for, like, several weeks.
What?
Yeah. You're supposed to leave it for a couple weeks. But also, I think it just went super fast. It was interesting.
Dude, that's one of the things that I think is really interesting about you as a creative, because it's like you do so many different things. Like, I'm sure we've barely scratched the surface of all like the shit you've just like tried once or done or been really good at or sucked at or whatever it is.
Thank you. I think I have intentionally just tried stuff. I think because of I like had my Oprah aha moment, because I was like, why am I saying I wish I could make beer? I just have to like buy the buckets and the ingredients and follow the directions. And then I like, I don't know, I actually bought it at the brewing place by like Lewis Ginter.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, do you have any questions about it or anything? And I was like, no, I was just going to follow the directions and see if it worked. And he's like, that's great. So I thought it would be, I think I was prepared to be met with like a bunch of bros that are like, if you want to make real beer, then you have to do this or, but it's actually not a snobby thing and you just buy the stuff and do it and it's easy. And so I think I have tried that. I just want to try a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I also wear big earrings. And I just started that. I don't know when that was. But I wore big earrings to work one day, and everyone was like, wow, big earrings. And I was like, I'm big earring girl from now on. And then I just have been.
Did you make them?
No, not these.
I would not have been surprised. You said not these, meaning you have made earrings.
I have made, like, two. I have not done much.
But
I don't know. That's another thing that I was like, I should be somebody that just does it. But then you just do it, and then you are that. It's very easy. And then you, I don't know, it's not useful to just think about it anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's actually the premise of this show, is I'm going to stop talking about doing it and do it.
Wow.
That's like the reason why it's called The Producers.
Okay. That's cool. Another thing that I thought was so cool and I wish I could have done it was doing like aerial silks, circusy tricks.
Like juggling and hula hoop?
No, the aerial silks is like the Cirque du Soleil twirly people. Or like so it's called a lira and it's like a big like hoop that's hung in the air and you just like crawl all over it and spin around and stuff.
Well, it's in the air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, I should do some of that. But then my BFF Hank in Pittsburgh had a Groupon and took me and my friends and Kale to an aerial silks lesson. And then I moved here and I was like, I'm going to reinvent myself as somebody who has always done that after taking one class. So I was doing that for a while here.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really fun and expensive.
I love the idea of how you can, like, because that's twice in 5 minutes that I could think of that you've identified yourself. Like, you're just like, this is who I am. This is my thing. Big earrings.
Yeah.
Silks.
I think maybe that took practice. That's why I don't know.
I think it's really cool because I feel like, I don't know, like, it follows the trend of I'm not tied down to this medium or this thing. It's more like, this is what I am, and now I'm something else, and now I'm the person who does this, and now I do this.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder if it's, Kale has, I don't know, one time he was asking me about, like, why I would say that I make crafts and not art. I wonder if that's relevant here. Because I was like, I'm not an artist. I just make crafts. And I don't know why I hesitate to define some things as art. Because I'm like, I'm just messing around. I haven't, like, honed or something. But that's, I don't know, that's something people do all the time. They're like, I'm an artist. I just am.
Well, it sounds based off of what little I know and what you've just said. It sounds like you're not, like, searching for a title. It's just something you like to do. And also, it seems like late in slightly is this, like, respect for people who really do put in the work to be a crocheting artist.
Yeah.
Or like this. Or, like, this is what I do. And you're like, this is something I like to do.
Yeah. I think it's, like, I don't have, like, my brand.
Yeah. You're a lot of things. You wear big earrings and you fly in the sky. You make hats and you paint sometimes.
Mediocre at so many things.
What do you think is your favorite thing to craft or art or make or whatever?
I'm not sure. I guess it depends. I mean, I think it really is just like what holds my attention.
Okay. Is there something that has always been a commonality over the years? Like, yeah, I do this and this, but I can always go back to this and something I always like to do again and et cetera.
I'm not sure. I don't know. Cause I've made like a lot of very whimsical things, just like stupid, cute stuff.
Which you don't like, but you like, but you don't?
I don't really like it. So I was crocheting tiny vegetables for a while.
That's adorable.
Which is really cute, but I have no use for them. Nobody does.
Mm-mm. I can't think of... I was like thinking, like, if I had those, what would I do with them? I'd put them on my little bar cart, and they would sit there until I moved them somewhere
else.
You,
like, put them in a bowl on your kitchen table, and you're like, isn't that funny?
look at
those are
things.
Not real.
Check it out. Don't eat it.
No, they're yarn. I don't know. Like, you could give them to a kid, but that's not even good pretend food. I don't know what they're for. I just think they're funny.
They're fun to make. I'm sure they're fun to make.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, somebody who likes to display things. Like, I recently had a friend over, and it wasn't because it wasn't until I saw their new place. Like, I hadn't seen their place probably ever or in like a while or whatever, but like, they're like, you don't have a lot of stuff. And I think I have way too much stuff.
Oh, really?
But then I went over to see their place and it was like Oh, they had stuff everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
They had, like, little shelves just, like, full, and, like, a TV stand full, bookshelf full.
Yeah.
Whole room of just full, like, paintings everywhere. And I'm just like, whoa. So I feel like there are people who are like, I need crocheted carrots.
Little carrots.
I need a little tomato.
Yeah. Yeah, we're hoarders. We live in a really small apartment.
But you...
And it's packed to the brim.
You make it work. Like, honestly, oh, like, wow. There's nothing I've seen that I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Like, what the fuck is that? It's always, like, something cool, like a fucking unicycle or, like, a trombone. Yeah,
well, you know, how can you turn that down?
Exactly.
Today, my coworker was like, does anyone need an accordion? I was like, hmm?
Did you grab
Did
it?
Did you just say, I was like, do you not want it? Oh, just wondering if you, are you really, you don't, I don't know if she's really giving it away.
Because that
But
would...
I think I have dibs if she is.
Because I know how to hold an accordion.
Wow, that's really good.
Mm-hmm. I've played a chord on it, if they're even called chords. Some of my friends at Orwell Music Park, they have an accordion,
mm-hmm.
and they let me check it out.
That's the biggest part of it. It's just knowing to hold it and maybe how to.
It's like you got to hold this, and then you got to play the keys, and you got to.
It's a piano adjacent.
Basically, I but then I can't remember. I'm trying to picture it. It's like one side is the keys and one side is these thousands
little
buttons
of buttons. Of like chord.
Like different sounds or whatever. And then you have to like, it doesn't just go like this. You have to like, kind of like play with the way the air compresses.
Yeah.
That thing is.
I imagine they're so heavy. I did hold one that was very heavy.
They're not light.
I don't know if the technology has improved.
The one I held was pretty heavy. It wasn't comfortable to hold. Like, I could very easily see if I got into it a little bit of falling forward.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because I play very light guitars.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the thought of having something three times as heavy, higher up, way more, like, finger things happening.
Do accordionists ever sit?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So being with, going in theme with what Aura Music Park, they have one. They also one time brought in a dude who played accordion that we played.
Oh, cool.
We played, I played the box and he, and the other dudes played the guitars. Mm-hmm. And we played with him, like just going, and it was just like, he had to sit. He was an older guy, but like, yeah, he definitely, I don't see anyone standing up for an hour.
Yeah.
Or two.
It does seem more physical. I don't know why that would be. I guess just because it's heavy and you have to hold it.
It's heavy, and also you're doing a lot of arm motions, and I feel like for some reason I feel like there's a lot more control if you have 3 points of contact versus two.
Yeah,
your feet,
and
your hiney.
Something else. I wonder if anyone has ever thigh mastered an accordion. It seems like leg muscles are stronger. Just a thought that I had.
Are you talking
if anyone wants to
are you talking
try
about
that out on their
the
accordion.
Squeezing of the pressure with your legs.
Sure, because your arms get tired. Never seen it done.
I don't know how you would do that. The only thing I can think about is, yes, the legs are stronger, but the motion of doing this doesn't seem as strong as, like,
oh, kicking
up and down kind of thing.
That's fair.
Because there's that machine at the gym. Whenever I have tried to get on it, it's not as easy as other leg machines for me.
Okay.
So maybe...
Well, you know, you would get stronger.
I feel like I still want to try that, though. I still want to be a part of the testing for the Thighmaster accordion.
Okay. I'll put you on the list for the beta. Kayla and I had...
Not even the alpha.
This is not... this is about cheese. I invited some of my classmates over to play games and to have snacks. And there's this one guy, and he was like, how can I help you get the snacks ready? And Kayla was like, you can slice the cheese. And he took a big block of this cheese, and he cut it into, like, 5 pieces. Just, like, huge chunks.
I'm done.
Isn't that crazy? Anyway, we were just like, oh, no, there's an alien in our midst. When has he ever seen cheese look like that? So now I sometimes think of it when I'm slicing some cheese.
I will say I had a very weird upbringing, so, like, eating cheese and crackers was never a thing.
Okay.
It wasn't until very, very the past couple, 2, maybe 5 years that it became evident that that's something, first of all, that people do, that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Seems normal to me now.
Can I ask you what you mean by it was a weird upbringing?
weird in the sense that, like, things that are normal to me now are normal to other people were so foreign at the time. I grew up in southern Utah.
Okay.
So it's not a lot of influence. It's a lot of, like, whatever you have, you have. So my mom worked full-time at Albert full-time, so it was a lot of just, like, generic.
Yeah.
Like, here's your dinner. Weird flavorless chicken.
Okay.
Flaked mashed potatoes and, like, canned corn kind of thing. That was, like, square. So, like, for me, it's, like, I'm specifically thinking of food because they didn't have a very diverse food centric upbringing.
Yeah.
So cheese and crackers to me is still like the first thought is like, that's weird. But then I'm like, but it's so delicious. It's so normal.
There's things about my, like and I don't like fault my parents, but I didn't know what hummus was until I was like 18.
Mm-hmm.
And I also met kale before I knew kale was a vegetable.
So you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I don't know why that happened. I mean, I think my mom didn't like cooking. She's a fine cook. But it was like, and I have a huge family, so it was like hamburger helper, kind of casserole stuff is the easiest.
Very easy, very plain.
And she doesn't like spicy stuff.
Yeah, that's another thing.
So I never had anything spicy until I was like way old enough to like muster up the courage.
Mm-hmm. I talked about this on an episode before. I couldn't mentally process eating a salad until I was like 20 something. Because I never had salads growing up. That was never a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I went over to Anthony's for dinner one of like a couple weekends ago or whatever. And like they just had a salad out. And I'm just like, in my mind, my first thought was like, that's so weird. But then, but then my next thought was, no, I'm weird.
No, it's not.
It's so
I wish
normal.
I could remember. And I wish you could. I wish we could both remember just like the things that you realize aren't just invented by your parents. And I have an example that's a stranger from the internet, but there was like an internet comment about how this girl was like, as a special treat, her parents would let her wear socks in the bathtub. And and I just thought it was like the craziest but also the sweetest thing, because I was like, she thinks it's a treat. Is it good to trick your kids into thinking that it's a treat to wear socks in the bathtub?
Also,
it doesn't hurt anybody, but like I can see a kid just like going off to college and then they're like, sometimes when I'm good, I can wear socks in the bathtub.
Or even worse, they don't realize that they don't need to be rewarded. They can do whatever they want and they just do it all the time.
Yeah, they're just so excited to wear socks.
Why are your socks always wet and hanging on the shower? It's like, because I'm treating myself.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just like, it's so bizarre, but I can see just like a family normalizing it and being like, because it's a free treat that you could give to kids. You could just say, you've been so good, you get to do this weird thing.
Honestly, the only thing I can think is, I really want to try it. I don't take baths.
It might be awful.
It might be terrible. I do have a related story. Have you ever heard the story about the poop knife?
I have heard a little. I have not looked into the detail. I think I know the gist already.
The gist for those listening.
Oh, good.
I feel like I had to explain it. Basically, when your poops were too big, you needed to break them up with a knife. And this guy grew up thinking that it was a normal thing that you had this knife. And so he was over at a friend's house, and he's like, y'all, where's y'all's poop knife? And they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? And that was the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is another example of just like, yeah, things that are normal or not normal or weird or whatever.
The internet is so awful.
Why?
It's terrible.
Why is it awful?
For all of the reasons we just said. Those two reasons.
Those two reasons.
Bath socks.
Bath socks and poop knives.
Another thing I learned when I got to college, I was talking to my good friend in college about what happens when the power goes out. And I was like, it's such a pain because then you can't even, like, flush the toilets or wash your hands. And she's like, yes, you can. I'm like, no, I don't think you can. She's like, no, you can still use the water. I was like, I don't think you can use the water.
I have no idea which one is true.
Okay, interesting, because I was like, you definitely can't use the water. She's like, you definitely can. And I was like, why would my parents lie to me about that? Do you remember what happens when the power goes out?
Here's what I have in my knowledge bank about this. They always say fill your bathtub ahead of a storm because you need to throw a bucket of water into the toilet to get the flush. But I can't think of any electrical plugs that are connected to any of my water sources. On my end, I don't know how the outside world works at all.
Keep your toilet plugged in.
Yeah. I literally have no. I'm assuming that you can't.
I was like, I mean, we like both started doubting ourselves, but I was like, why would my parents tell me I wasn't allowed to use the water when the power goes out? And she's like, yeah, I don't know. You could have used it. And I was like, they wouldn't make me like pee on somebody's pee, you know, like you can't flush. The truth is that I do know the answer. If you have a well and it has an electric pump, then you can't use the water. But a lot of like cities, or like if you live in the city, it's just not electric. So she lived in Pittsburgh and I lived like in the woods. So we had an electric pump in our well. So that would go power. Out with the power.
Yeah. So would you say, so does my house have water? If I power
probably,
it out?
Probably, yeah. Probably.
Interesting. I haven't lost power here yet, so.
But it was a funny, like, argument where I was like, maybe my whole life has been this weird lie where my parents just thought it was funny to not flush. I don't know.
Or they had been told by their, like, they had no idea.
We would never dare try to turn on the water.
Yeah, and honestly, because my first thought is like, what would happen if I flushed my toilet and there was no power on? Like, nothing would happen,
it would not work.
It would either flush
It would flush once, and then it wouldn't fill up again.
That's what it was. You have to fill it up with water from your bathtub.
They wouldn't fill up again. So man,
that blows my mind. Hard segue. Tell me about Girl Band.
Oh, Girl Band, sure.
I feel like that's important to mention. Because I've had you're the third of four I've had, and I don't think I even know the fourth person.
Oh, Girl Band is there's a fluid number of members.
Mm. Well, I've had two of them and you're the third.
Yeah, so we're the only members that have attended all two practices.
Oh.
So we're the core members, I would say.
Sure.
The other one is a lovely stranger from the internet. We had a great time with her. I think maybe you saw the picture. She was present for the photo shoot.
That's why I immediately was like, there's four people in that band.
Yeah, yeah. So she is a stranger, but she was great.
Think she'll make the next practice?
I think so, but they are few and far between because I'm the scheduler. It is a musical band of girls, and the premise is that you're supposed to play an instrument you don't know how to play. We've had two practices over the course of
like 7 months.
Yeah, a long time.
It's been a while. I remember when it started.
Because I'm not good at scheduling them.
It's so hard to work with people who are busy schedules.
Yeah, I'm like...
I know the other two, Angela and Jasmine, are both very busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just like... It's really fun when it happens.
Sure.
But I just never put it on the books. Mostly, it's a Facebook group that I shit post in anytime I think of a funny joke related to Girl Band. I don't know how many people are members of the Facebook group. I'm sure most of them have muted it. I hope so. But one time I was in the car for a long time and I was like, I'm just going to think of as many names as I can for a girl band and just post them all. There were like 50.
Oh my gosh. My favorite thing about that was how casually you dropped the term shitpost.
Oh.
I know what you're for.
That's not... part of my identity that I like to claim.
shit poster.
Yeah. Girl band. So we had the first practice, and what we would do is like pick up an instrument, play a song,
mm-hmm.
And then pass our instruments over. But unfortunately what happened is that people who vaguely knew how to play their instruments made it sound much better. And I was like, man, this whole thing about not knowing how to play your instruments is worse than knowing how to play them.
So you don't like that idea anymore?
I still love that idea, but then Angela learned one chord on the guitar. She calls it a note.
What's her? What's the chord?
I forget.
she calls it a note.
She's like, is this a note? I don't know how to play the guitar.
I can
Angela
totally
knows how to play one to two chords, and I was like, damn, she's a good guitarist. And I can keep one very, like, one beat on the drums if I concentrate so hard. It can sort of change tempos, but it can never change, like, the pattern.
What is it?
I don't know. I'm not a beatboxer. I don't know. I can just, like, so I could just do the floor and then the, yeah, it's just like this. I cross my hands. You can't see, but I'm crossing my hands because that's cool.
Visual. It's I like told this. You.
I even tried to make it like.
Oh, interesting.
Like patun, tatun, tatun. Like, I don't know what that would be. Anyway, I suck at the drums.
I love it.
But it is like whenever you get better at instruments, the band gets better. So then we sort of got lenient on those rules. You're allowed to play if you sort of know the instrument. But we've never played the same song twice. I'll say that. And it's also really, we're big on just talking about, like getting shirts. We're never going to get shirts, but we like to talk about it. That's always on the agenda.
I want a girl band shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't have one, and we just mostly like to talk about it. Sometimes we talk about like our demands that we would make for our performances.
Your rider.
Yeah, that was Jasmine's idea. She's like, we should probably revise that every time we meet.
Revise the rider. Can that be on the shirt?
Yeah.
Revise the rider.
Interestingly, I think Kale mentioned it to somebody. We were like walking outside at First Friday and we saw our old acquaintance or friend. And he said something about a band. And then Kale was just like, Lori's in a band. That was well before we had ever met the first time.
And Lori's in a band.
This guy was like, let me know when you have some gigs. I was like, yeah, sure, man. We'll do.
See you in 2033.
Yeah. I was like, not going to happen.
With the pacing of your practices, I think 2033 is a good goal.
That might be very reasonable.
Like, if that continues.
Yeah, that might be very reasonable. I think it's a hilarious idea, and it has worked okay. But I do have, like, the last time, I had two people over that I didn't really know. And that's, I think, the goal is that I was like, I wonder if I can get people to come to my house that I don't know.
Oh, but that's then, creepy.
Right. Yeah. I'm like, don't worry about it. But, no, that was my worry that it was going to be so creepy because this girl from the internet was like, sounds great, I'll be over. And then I was like, oh my God, Angela, you have to come over right now. She's like, I'm sorry, I'm really busy. And I was like, you have to come right now. Because this girl is like, I'm like, come over, we're having girl band practice. But, like, nobody else had RSVP'd except this stranger. Oh. So I was like, oh, God, she's going to come here. She's, like, putting herself out on a limb. And it's just, like, me. I'm like, hey, it's me, a stranger. Welcome to girl band.
Did Angela show up?
Mm-hmm. And also Jasmine. I was like, Jasmine, get here. She's like, I think she was like, I have homework. You know what? She actually had homework that she did there because she was like, I'm supposed to like call in and work on a group project. She went upstairs for a while to work on a group project.
Oh, Lord.
Via phone. But I was like, you guys have to come over here or else this is going to be way creepier than it already is. Because she's going to, I'm like, don't worry. No, go behind the house. Go behind the house. There's a smaller house.
Uh-huh.
Just walk into that.
Just knock on the door.
Come on.
Ask for Penny.
It's just me.
It's just me.
So, anyway.
Penny's my girl band name.
Yeah. But girl band is a wild success.
I think so.
Because the bar has been set so low.
I know that it's been on my radar since.
Oh, wow.
For a long
Thank
time.
Thank you. Long time fan.
Yeah, big time fan. Actually, I don't want to say maybe the first fan? First real fan?
Maybe the Deep only. Cuts?
No.
No?
No way. I guarantee I know four people who are also fans. And that's like.
Are they band members?
No.
Oh, okay. Can you be a fan of your own thing? Are you a fan of this show?
No, I hate this show.
Oh, yeah.
The last episode I tried to listen to was episode 50 because somebody asked me, what episode should I listen to? And I'm like, this one. And then they would make all these jokes. And I'm like, all right, I'll listen to it while you listen to it. And then I'll like get the jokes. And I had to stop 3 minutes in, because I'm like, this audio quality is just terrible. I can't deal with this. It was Anthony.
Okay.
Anthony's second episode. That was actually a really good episode. Mm-hmm. Really, really fun episode. And then the last one I listened to before that was episode 6, which was Matthew's episode. And that was when we first became friends. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, I should listen to this episode again, because now that we're friends, I don't want to miss anything. And the other episode I listened to before that one was episode 4, and that was when that came out. Which was a year and a half ago. So I've listened to like 3 episodes.
Yeah.
I can't listen to this show. I can't listen to my own show. Yeah. I can't listen to myself talk, but also like having also been in the conversation, I also don't listen to podcasts at all anymore.
Oh, yeah?
I'm too worried about being influenced, and also I don't have time.
So I do not listen to chatty podcasts because I think they're very annoying, and I'm like, who is talking? Will you shut up?
Mm-hmm. Especially when you don't know the person, which is like,
yeah, all of my all of my favorite podcasts are like very high production quality. I like don't mean to be such a snob, but I just hate when people are chatty. I'm like, get to the goods.
I don't want to listen to you guys try to figure it out for 2 hours. Like,
they have their high acclaim. Like, people love My Favorite Murder. Have you heard of that one? I've tried to listen to it. It's two ladies that talk about their, like serial killers and stuff. And I was like, well, that sounds interesting. But they chat for like a couple minutes in the beginning. I don't even know how long it goes on, because every time I've tried, I'm like, I don't care.
Really?
They're just like small talking, and I don't know why I don't like that. But yeah. I have listened to this because it's a little different. I feel like I got a little bit.
Is it because you know the people?
Yeah, but I don't always know the people. I'm like on the periphery of knowing the people. But it is nice, because then I can know people before they ever know anything about me.
That's something that I definitely hear probably more often than any other kind of comment about the show. It's like, I feel like I know them, and like I can go up to them and tell them something I heard on their episode. And I'm funny. So it is kind of fun, because that was one of the things, that was another reason why I kind of started the way that I started it, with bringing on different guests every time, because I was like, I'm new to the city, like, let's meet people. And mm-hmm. originally, the first, I think, 11 guests, I think six to seven of them were from my 101 class.
Okay.
So, like, it was all about just, like, I don't know anybody, like, come do my show.
Yeah.
And then it's obviously exploded into this thing where it's, like, now just people from the coalition community, basically.
Yeah.
And that's why I like to say, like, I don't care if anyone listens, because I don't listen to my own show, so how can I, like, expect... how can you expect someone to, like, appreciate your anything? Especially when it's such a commitment. The last 2 episodes I released were 2 hours each.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I don't expect anyone to, like, fucking put in that much time. Every week? I put out so much content. It's like hundreds of hours. This is ridiculous. 100 plus hours. So, I definitely don't care if people listen, but when they do listen, I hear that feedback, and it's very cool, because it's like, that's a moment that I had with somebody, and like...
Yeah. It is funny. We listened to it because we were just
on the way,
like,
to camp.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Because we just wanted to go so hard that we listened to people talk on the drive there. Listened to them talk all weekend.
You said
the
dance episode?
No, that was Drew.
Drew's?
Yeah.
His was a fun one.
I don't honestly think I talked to him before that weekend.
Did you talk to him and be like, I listened to your episode?
I may have, or maybe I just stored all of the facts that I gathered, just put them in my pocket just in case.
Would you, that's a new tagline.
Although I don't think I learned anything about him, except that he can't get out of bed very well or something.
I
already told you I have a bad podcast memory.
No, I think I remember is he uses washcloths and he doesn't like the loofah, mm-hmm. and he gets Starbucks every morning as his breakfast.
I think that's crazy.
I know.
But that's who they're talking about whenever they're like, you could save $1,000 a month by just not buying, like, whatever every day.
Sure.
I'm like, okay, do you think I'm spending that much? I love the thought.
I get,
like, if you ever look at, like, financial advice, like how to save, it's always a crazy amount. Like $800. Yeah. I saved $800 by not buying a coffee every morning. Like, was your coffee made of?
So yeah, if you spend $5 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And we'll say that there are 22 days. Oh man, that's like $110.
Yeah, that's
That's a lot, but it's not.
But it's like, still not what crazy.
But it's $800.
People are always like, "Here's how you save," and it just assumes that you're already spending. I just don't know who those financial tips are for.
I don't know.
This is not a critique on Drew's budget. I think it's totally fine if he goes.
Come on, Drew, get it together.
If he goes to a Starbucks.
He gets the sandwiches. This fucking guy.
I've just like somehow run into like financial tips for wealthy people.
You do a lot of internet things, though.
How do you know that?
Because you casually drop the term shitposting. you are the internet people. You don't like.
I know. I'm outing myself.
100%. One more thing I have I came into this with was
he's pointing at a towel as if it's like a list.
One more thing. Honestly, I've been picturing this as like a little turnover this whole time, the way it's like folded. Like it's like a little like
if it was, make it into like a little croissant.
If it was rising, croissant? It would like have all these different layers.
Oh, poofy. Nice! You know what I'm butter in between.
Oh, God, Lena, I'm so hungry.
but my block of cheese isn't enough.
That was really good.
We only got halfway through.
I just was scarfing it down. Fuck. You told me that you had. So this is the second time someone has come on the show and had something to say about something somebody else said. Third time someone's come on, someone tells a story or says something, and someone has to come on and drop a correction. And I always hype it up like it's a big thing. Like, oh, we're to fucking like hit this story hard. And usually when the guest comes on to correct, they're like, oh no, it was just this one thing.
That's true.
Just this tiny thing.
Yeah.
And it was something about the story about how you and Kale met.
Sure.
Do you remember?
Did you, mean that I told you before?
You told me, now? We talked about it.
Yeah.
When.
So a couple people asked me about it.
Really? I really want to know.
Man, I don't know. Maybe Chris.
Chris is a diehard listener.
I'm not sure he is.
Chris Daniel.
So I don't. Listen, so the only chatty podcast I have listened to besides this is Dax Shepard when he has his wife Kristen Bell on. Mm-hmm. I don't know celebrities so well, but it is funny to have. He has a podcast he hosts, or he hosts it, and then he interviews like all his friends and he just chats. Mm-hmm. And I don't love that because I don't follow their projects and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's funny to listen to him talk about his wife because they are both famous people and they both have projects, but they talk about like their home life sort of. But something that he has done, and I've only listened to two episodes, so I don't know why I'm referencing it now, is at the end of his podcast, he has like his other co-host do like a fact check, but it's fact checked on personal stuff. So she's like, you said Kristen was 10 minutes late to this, whatever. But in reality, she knew that she was on time, and here's the evidence. Like, she really fact-checks these very personal
I went and checked our text messages, things. And I said I was here at 8:01.
Right.
I was 1 minute
it's
late.
So good. I love the idea of it. But I'm not sidetracking, because I'm
going to do that right now.
No. The story, I don't know how it was titled, if he said that was the story of when we... Because he said that was our... When we started dating, did he say that was our first date?
He considered it the first date.
Okay.
I think because he hung out.
That was not the first day we met. I don't think he said that was the first day that we met.
What was the first day you met?
We lived in the same hallway freshman year of college. So I met him early on.
Yeah, because he said he was an RA because it saved him money.
Right. He was not an RA the first year. Mm. And so I met him because he lived down the hall with two other guys. They were all three very funny. One of them had a label maker, and they labeled everything in their rooms.
That's so funny. We thought
they were very funny. That was when I met him. And we were sort of friends. But there's a couple corrections that I would make to this. So eventually, you know, a year passed. And then I threw up in his building on Halloween. Which I guess is, you know, we're about at the anniversary of that.
Oh my gosh, right? That's crazy.
The anniversary of our first date. I did dress up. So the first correction I would say is that, what is the first correction that I would say? So he said Lori didn't drink a lot. I think that's false. I think I did drink a lot. I drank too much. Was, if that isn't clear.
I think he didn't want to say that.
He didn't want to, like, paint me as that person.
He already, going into, before he even got to that part, he's like, I don't think she wants me to tell this story.
It had been a full year of me being drunk 100% of the time. So that, I think, was, yeah, he was giving me, cutting me some slack there that was unwarranted. But then the other part, so maybe a thing that he also didn't mention, which also makes me look worse than in the story that he told, I did not live in that building. I lived the whole way across campus. I lived nowhere near that building. I just walked into a building and threw up. I did have a friend that lived there, so that kind of made sense.
Did you throw up in the hallway?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then the other things I think that would make me look a little better that I think he made me look worse at in is that, yes, I threw up, but as soon as I threw up, my friend, okay, so I lived across campus with my friend Will. He chose my outfit. He was dressed in a child's lion costume with very short shorts on and then just like a belly shirt and then like this lion mane hood thing. But it was for a child. So it was a very skimpy, sexy lion.
I picture the rest of the lion, the child's lion body is like a little cape.
Yeah, maybe. he's a small dude. He's sort of fit in all. He fit in it, but yeah, it was for a child.
Oh my gosh.
And he picked out my outfit, and I was like, what is this? So it was just, like, a shirt and shorts and, like, fishnets and heels. And I was like, that's not a costume. What is that? He's like, I don't know. Tell people you're, like, a rock star or something. And I was like, that's not a rock star. That's, I don't know what that is.
It's just, like, a weird outfit.
Yeah, I was like, that's just a weird thing I wouldn't normally
wear. Are you putting me in this?
He's like, right, so just say that you're, like, a supermodel. So there I was, vomiting on the floor in Kale's building. Will heard somehow, somebody texted him, and he came running because he was like, she never throws up. So I think that makes me look a little better that he was so worried. That wasn't, despite being a somewhat heavy drinker, that wasn't the norm.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wanted to put that in Kale's story, that it alarmed Will.
That you were throwing up.
Right,
yeah.
So he came running.
I also picture you, like, throwing up and chaos heading over you, and you look up and be like, I'm a supermodel.
So then he said, what are you dressed as? And I said, a slut.
He said that in the story. Oh my gosh.
I thought that was funny. So in a story, I was like, you said that as if I didn't say it was a joke. I wasn't genuinely dressed up like a promiscuous person. I mean, maybe I was. But anyway, I thought that was a joke that I told, and it was hilarious.
I don't think he got the inflection behind it.
That was something I thought was really funny in the moment.
Very drunk and just thrown up moment.
Yeah. And then none of the I mean, I don't know that there's any corrections. I slept in my friend's room. Her roommate gave me a bunch of clothes. They were so nice. The dining hall was downstairs, so I just walked downstairs for breakfast, and Kale was there when I woke up eating a bunch of my friend's Kit Kats. I still say, like, she still is like, why did you eat all the Kit Kats? And he's like, what kind of maniac keeps a bunch of Kit Kats in their room? So he was like, she had it coming. I don't know why that's his stance on that.
First of all, as someone who has had that, I gotta agree. If I left someone
has had
in my
Kit Kats?
Oh, yeah. When I first moved here, I went like Prime Now, like a bunch of candy and just have it around. Mm. Whenever I wanted candy, I ate a lot of candy.
Yeah, he's like, who just keeps a bunch of candy in their house?
Yeah. I did that for a while, and now I don't, but like, I get it. I get Kale's stance.
Yeah.
I'm here to say he's not crazy, but
that's really good.
Yeah.
Because she was like, man, now I have to buy more. But that's a crazy thought, I think, to be like, I need to replace my Kit Kats.
Yeah, having a stash is weird, but also, like, I'm sure
having a continuous stash.
I'm pretty sure I have supply. A symphony bar somewhere in my house right now.
I think that's the best way to have candy is to be like, maybe there is, who knows where.
Yeah. Also, I need, the worst thing is, like, when I am drunk and I'll be like, I want more than what I should be having. You only need, like, two squares. I have a taste, I have a second taste, I'm good. And yeah. I'll go for, like, eight. I'm just like,
yeah. I eat a lot of Nerds. I actually just got some at class today. Our professor gave us candy.
Thoughts on the nerd's rope?
So I think it makes nerds portable, but I don't think the rope does much else. You don't have to use your hands because your hands are grimy. And of course, to eat nerds, you have to like go like this in a little box.
It comes
box,
in a box.
Like,
you rip the box.
Oh, to the right to the mouth.
Hell yeah. From the carton.
One time, Kale wrote me this really sweet song, and part of it was about the cardboard on the nerd's box getting all soggy.
Oh my gosh.
That was so cute.
You guys are kind of an item.
That was so cute.
How do you feel about the way he describes that?
I don't like it. I don't know why
I don't like it.
I think
it's the sweetest little thing.
I know. I think I've heard it too many times. Recently, somebody was like, "Do you ever get tired of Kale's stories?" And I was like, "No, I really don't." And then he told one story, and I was like, "No, that's the one." I don't know if you've heard it's a beatboxer on an airplane.
No, but I need to hear
it. You're the only one who hasn't heard it, so.
I'm so excited.
That's
great. I'm going to wait until
you're... It's a long one, so set aside some time.
I'm talking like 10 minutes.
That's genuinely the only... What?
You're talking like a 10-minute story?
Longer? I honestly think it's longer.
Oh, I will time it.
It is as long as the flight he was on. The flight he was on was from, like... Jacksonville to Atlanta or something. It was like a 30-minute flight.
That's like a 30-45-minute flight.
Right, and the story is so long.
Oh my god, I am so ready. I should have asked him about that. That could have been
it would
have
taken
episode.
Up the whole thing. Anyway, that really is genuinely the only thing that really annoys me when he talks about it. But only it's a good story, but only because I'm like, you're still telling that story. How am I always next to you when you tell this? And it's so long. So as soon as he starts, I'm like, oh, God. But it's a really good story. And so, like, there are no details you should cut out because it's just funny that he met a weird character. But it takes too long.
I don't remember if I asked him this. How long have y'all been together?
Since, like, spring of 2012. So 6 something.
6 and a half.
Yeah. So the story about Halloween, we did not begin dating then. I don't know what he thought of me then. We were already friends. He already knew that. I already knew that he was an RA. He knew that I was a drinker. I don't know. But we were friends. And then, I don't know, after winter break, we started hanging out a little bit. So I think the only other correction I could make is, like, I can't remember what he said in his story. But if he said that was our first date, then I would like to refute that.
Refute that. Consider it refuted.
Because we didn't, that wasn't our first date. I was like, why didn't you talk about going to Grace or sled riding? Or there was a whole bunch of other items that I had that I was like, maybe that was our first date. But we were in college, and so our first date was, like, going to the dining hall, probably. That said, after winter break, we, there was one night where, and I don't know why he would have texted me, but he was like, do you want to go sled riding with Michael Deary and I? And I said, yes. And so I went sled riding with Kale and his friend Michael Deary, and we just... went sled riding on the hills on campus and then went to the dining hall, which is open very late on weekends. And then you can watch all the sloppy people. Also, interestingly, that night, right after that, Kale lived in the building that I threw up in, and I, again, lived across campus. So the dining hall was sort of like, yeah, sort of the middle, a little closer to me. So I was about to walk home by myself, and then these giant guys, they were twins, and everyone knew who they were because they were, like, super tall and strong and twins, and they were like, don't worry, we'll walk you home. And I was like, that is the most worrying thing I have ever heard, is, like, two strangers who are a billion times my size and identical are like, don't worry, we will take you to your home.
Also,
in the dark.
The way you told the story, they came out of nowhere. So, like, that's even creepier.
Yeah, I mean, they were probably eating cheese sticks like the rest of us. But that was another part of the evening that I remember. And then Kale had lost his phone in the snow. And then,
what a Kale thing to do.
Right? And then he texted me because I was still texting him. No, but I was texting him when he got a new phone. And so he was like, your number was the only one I had. And I was like, wow, so romantic. But I still was like, we're just friends.
Wait, did those guys walk you home?
Yeah, it was fine. I don't know why I added that part of the story. It was anticlimactic, but I was still
walking you home or something.
No, they walked me home and they were nice, but I was like, this is
weird. Yeah.
This is scary. I think it's interesting to be a really tall, foreboding character and thinking that you're protective of somebody you don't know, which is nice.
To be fair, I don't think it was intentional on your part, but the way it was told, it portrayed them as like scary, like, oh, fuck.
They were so scary to me.
But I'm sure, like, and if you take it from the other side, like, if I have them on the show, like, they're just like really, maybe probably like really sweet guys.
They're super nice. Yeah. And I do know them a little bit. They're super nice, but I just thought that was interesting. That was like, it was something that I interpreted as so weird because I was like, these guys think they're not threatening. When they're the only threat, like I was alone and fine.
People
like
would walk
until people like them jump out of the bushes and try to help. Anyway, they're totally fine. That's not part of the story at all. They were a friend of a friend, so I vaguely knew them, but I just thought it was interesting that you could be somebody that thinks you are
like, not scary,
right? Yeah,
it is.
I was
weird.
Like, they're the only scary thing about that. But they were fine.
It was either Donald Glover or Baron Vaughn who had a stand-up bit about, like, guys never think about, like, having to, like, walk by themselves anywhere because there's no danger for them. And until like, a woman tells you, like, oh, you need to, like, walk me to this place. You're like, why? And then, like, they tell you, like, oh, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. That's crazy. It just registers as part of that night because I was like, being by myself is better than being with two large strangers that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It was a short walk.
Short walk, yeah.
Anyway.
I'm trying to picture my campus and like how far that probably would have been.
It was fine. It was totally fine. Really weird detail that I added. We call them the Winklevoss twins because I think that Facebook movie had just come out.
Winklevoss twins.
But I don't remember their names.
No, that's right.
Also, they took all of the same, no, I don't remember the names of the guys at my school, but they took all of the same classes.
Same degree, I'm assuming?
And they lived together.
Interesting.
And they were identical.
It's funny that the twin thing doesn't always, some people are like, oh, can you get my own identity? And then some people do that and don't.
Yeah, I don't know. That was interesting. I texted Kale because he had lost his phone. And then he was like, you want to come over and hang out, sort of. And I was like, no. not really.
No, I don't. Well,
then I was like, and do what? He's like, I don't know, just draw pictures or something. And I was like, I guess. And then it was like my birthday, but he didn't. My birthday's the end of January, so that's how I use this timeline. But I wasn't hanging out with him on my birthday. On Valentine's Day, he was like, do you want to be my Valentine? And I was like, what is that? And he was like, he said something like, we can dance and have a wholesome nap or something. And then I never texted him back.
Whoa.
I did not be his Valentine.
Man, you were not on the kale train for a long time.
I did not be his Valentine. But then I don't remember because his birthday is the beginning of March and I don't remember if I celebrated his birthday.
Probably not then.
But he had a radio show in the middle of the night on Saturdays, and I sometimes went to that, and he came to my apartment sometimes, and we hung out a little. He also was like, I shouldn't have told that story about Halloween. I should have told it about sled riding. I was like, is it about our first date? And then he's like, or church, because another thing that happened in that timeline is that my mom said she would give me $10 if I went to church. So it was a Sunday, and Kale was like, what are you doing today? And I was like, I'm going to church. And so he came with me. Kale is Jewish. He's not religious, but his family is, his mother is Jewish. But he came to church with me, and it was like a small Methodist church. I don't know if you're familiar with churches. It's like a folksy church, and it was small, and they do this awful thing that's like, it's good to see some new faces in the crowd, and they like point you out. It's terrible. And so they like sort of did that. They were like, we see some young people in the crowd today, thank you so much, I hope to see you. We're here every week. wink, that sort of thing. And so then everyone was like very friendly, and they were like young people in the church, and they said, or they were just meeting us, and they shook our hands, and they were like, "What's your name?" And I said, "Lori," and he said, "Kale," and they said, "What?" And he said, "Stephen." I guess he didn't want to explain his name to
Davis?
People.
Oh, no, he didn't say Kale, he said Stephen.
He said, "Stephen." He said, "My name is Kale," and they said, "What?" And he said, "Stephen," and they were like, "Nice to meet you, Stephen." then Kale was like, that was our first date.
Church.
So, I'm not sure.
That's such a sweet story. I like that. But I mean, then, I'm making more out of it than what you're telling me, but...
Yeah.
The exciting themes that I just see.
Yeah, like, that's okay. That was a fine day.
When did you finally... The way you're paying this, when did you finally come around to Kale? Or Stephen, sorry.
Stephen, yeah. I hope
that for the week after this comes out, people just are like, "Hey, Stephen," and he's like...
I've never heard him do that since, really, but...
Do you think if people were to call him Stephen, he'd remember? He's going to listen to this, I'm sure.
If he listened to this, yeah, I guess.
But before he gets here, like if someone catches it before him.
I don't think so. I don't think he regularly lies about his name. But I just remember that where I was like, wow, this dude's so weird.
Okay, so yeah, when did you come around to Kale?
I'm not sure. I mean, we hung out pretty regular. Well, so we were friends, but we never like hung. We weren't close friends. We never hung out like one-on-one until probably that. Like spring, at some point he, and this was very early, so it was spring break, so March or April, I don't know when spring break is,
somewhere around there.
He was like, "I wish I could go home for spring break, but I'm going on this service trip," because Kale is a good person who like does community service stuff. So he was like, "I wish I could go home, but I have, I have to go to this service trip and I won't be able to go to Pittsburgh in time to see my family." And I was like, "Well, you can come see my family if you want." And then he rode with me to visit my family for a day before his spring break trip left, which was really weird because I don't think we were dating at that point. But I was still like, "Come meet the family." so that was weird timing, I think. I don't think that was the context, but it also happened that way.
When you came around?
Yeah, I guess so. We had also, I'm trying to remember, that was something, in the car. Kale's mother is very funny and crazy. And in the car on the way to my house, because he wanted to visit his family, but I was like, "Well, you can see my family." He was on the phone with his mom, and he was like, "I'm going to a friend's house for the night, and then I'm going to go on this trip." And then he said, "Okay, Mom, I hope that Dad dies so I can marry you. Goodbye." Because that was something she was like, "Now say this." She's like, "You're in a car with somebody? Now say this." It's really crazy.
Are you serious?
Yeah, she makes jokes.
That's so. At first, I was just like, "Kale's, it's so weird. I love it." But that's his mom.
His like, mom oh was like, God. "Now say this."
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
That's very funny. I don't know.
I'm sure you have a thousand Kale-isms. Oh my gosh, just little things.
Yeah, that was funny. Trying to think of anything else at the early stages, but I don't know. It's been good. I think I was like hesitant to be in a relationship. I've not really dated. So I dated in high school one insane person.
Mm-hmm.
And then I never really dated after that. And so I guess I thought I'd be like really casual and just like casually date.
Sure.
But then I went from like a year long, really awful garbage relationship in high school to like nothing for a while, and then like 6 years.
Mm-hmm. That's a drastic difference.
Yeah, but it's easy.
I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was one thing. So I think he mentioned it too, and I'm very aware of this, having been in relationships and also doing the show. It's like, I don't want it to be, "Oh, it's Kale and Laura." It's more like, "This is Kale. and this is Lori.
Yeah.
And they are together, but like they're two separate people. That's why I was like, so I was like, it's very important that this is your episode, but I couldn't help but ask, especially at the end.
That's okay. I think that's nice of you.
Well, I just know that's what I would want. Like, if I was in a relationship, like, the last thing I want to do is lose my individual identity.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, we moved to a new city as, like, a unit. And so it makes sense that we have the same friends and stuff.
Sure.
But I think it's something I'm conscious of where I'm like, I don't want to have only the same friends.
I don't only want to hang out with improv people, Kale.
Yeah, Kale. I don't know. I don't want to feel like it's like Kale's friends.
Yeah.
And I think it feels less like that since I have talked to more people.
Listen to more podcasts.
Since I listen to podcasts. And now I know like little things to mention about everybody. It has been good to be theater adjacent. It's interesting. It's just interesting to like move to a different city as like one of a couple.
I've never done that
because you don't know anybody, and of course you meet people as your unit.
Mm-hmm. Of course. That's something I've never done. I've almost done it a couple times, but I couldn't imagine what that would be like. But I feel like, based on what I know about you guys, I feel like, you know, you guys are probably better equipped to handle it than a lot of other people.
It's easy to move to a new city when you're with, like, your partner because you know them. But then I think it's hard to, like, be motivated to go out and meet other people, too.
Especially when you're already doing so much and you're already setting up so much and then, like, I'm going to go, like, by myself somewhere and, like, hope to find, like, something.
But Kale did an improv class, and then he was like, oh, thank God, all of these people need friends. Like, I forget what he said, but he like,
all
really...
of these people need friends.
He really, so like, funny. It just happened to be sort of that, like... Not that they didn't have other friends, but also sort of. So I say, like, what I look for in friends is that they, like, think the same things are funny and want friends.
Yeah.
Because
we've all met people in a point in our life where we're like, all good on friends, thanks.
Right, and it is sort of weird. It's hard to break into that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Bumble account. You can do... Are you familiar with Bumble?
I am.
Yeah, it's very stupid, but I do think it's funny. For a number of reasons. Because, like, why would you advertise yourself as a friend with just pictures of yourself and then say you're into Netflix? what's interesting about it, I guess, is, like, you being interested in Netflix is, like, not interesting to me at all. That doesn't tell me anything about you. Netflix is invented to make every single person like it. But even if you say, like, I'm interested in, like, hiking and crocheting and improv, I'm like, wow, that's really good. But then if I talk to them and they don't think the same things are funny or something,
absolutely.
I'm like, okay, so we're not getting along. Even though on paper we
boxes
get along.
Are checked, yeah.
I think it only matters that people are, like, free. Like, they don't have plans, and they think the same things are funny.
Same things are funny and don't have plans. Let me see how that checks out in my mind. I will also say that I want to add something, but I don't know exactly what it is. I feel like some sort of commitment to, like, being someone's friend. Like, willingness to say, like, I'm going to make an effort.
Yeah, you have to put yourself out there. And I think I'm just trying to think of friends that I had and met in other ways, like less intentionally because they like live next to me or whatever. That stuff, I don't know. We maybe don't share any of the same hobbies.
Like work friends. Like, I'm very friendly with my coworkers, but like if we hung out elsewhere, like other than like, the conversation that would inevitably happen where we talk about who the fuck we are and like,
yeah,
like I do this and this and this. Oh, that's cool. Let me talk about this.
Yeah.
But like, okay, let's see you in the second hangout and then the third hangout. Yeah. Like, is there going to be more hangouts? Like, are you going to, if I tell a joke, is everyone going to laugh?
Yeah.
But I think the finding things funny thing is true. Cause I would say at work, cause I just got put on a new team. So like, I'm like testing the waters to see like, what can I get away with? What's funny? What do you laugh at?
That's, and I make,
how weird can I be?
I think that one, yeah, I think that qualification that I have is, it has several layers. And is just like, I think it's funny to make jokes about everything. And so I like when other people like them and also like to make jokes. But I think also having the same jokes means that they are not offending me. And they're not making only poop jokes. Because I'm not a fan of people who only make poop jokes. I shouldn't say that. I'm not a fan of poop jokes that people always make.
I want to see some more diverse material.
Small, right, I have a small tolerance for a poop joke, but I think, like, that's not my brand.
It's not my brand.
But, like, the offensive thing, like, if you are telling a joke that... It's like if you play Cards Against Humanity with people that you're not friends with.
That's
funny because why? Because it's racist.
Oh no. I don't know how to deal with this now.
I just think it's hard. Whenever you play with somebody that you do know, you're like, wow, they're clever and creative. And then when you play with somebody you don't know.
So like, for example, like a card combo that a friend plays, you're like, we both get that this is terrible, but like we're here for this game.
Right. It's funny. With a stranger, and it's funny because of context. It's not funny because you have the like big black cock or penis or whatever it says, and you just play it. Right, you just play it whenever because it's funny because of what it says. But I think there's like, if you're creative about it, still offensive, but like it makes more sense. I'm not sure. I don't know that game well enough that I can speak on it. But I think that is the example that I have about like. I think that game can be funny, but I am offended by some of it. Some of it is, like, rude as shit, and people play stuff because they are just like, isn't it funny to be edgy?
Yeah, shock value kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't played that in a while. And the one time I've only ever played it is, like, just a situation where it's just like, well, what kind of weird shit can we come up with?
Yeah, yeah, and I think, like, the funniest cards, because everything is so offensive, the funniest cards are always, like, a sad zoo lion. Or what's the... There's one that's just, like... One that's just, like, some animal with a hat. And, because it's in the context of just, like, only offensiveness, I always think those are the funniest. Because everything I say is G-rated, but it's just, like, you can say all these fucked up things, or you can just... I don't know. Instead of talking about the like Holocaust and just like using the Holocaust, not like as like a black humor joke, but just like, isn't that so random? The Holocaust.
The way you threw your head into somebody.
I think that is what offends me about that game, is that people think it's funny to be so random with awful stuff. And I think you have to carefully craft. I have high standards for people who play Cards Against Humanity.
I would love to see how people respond to that game now in 2018. Because it came out like 8 years ago?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm interested to see, because like, for example, like the TV show Friends like doesn't hold up.
Oh, okay.
I want to see how Ka holds up.
Ka. Ka, as we say.
Ka. Yeah, whatever. If you play a lot, you can call it Ka, whatever.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. And I'm not like so sensitive that I can't talk about it, but I do think like there's so many ways to be funny. Why you gotta be funny like that? And Kale told me about how like the current trend now is just being like so kind and genuine, you know, like wholesome memes.
Yeah. Oh, I love wholesome memes.
But like that's what's funny, is like the humor now is like very genuine. It's not like dead baby jokes.
Yeah.
We're not doing dead baby jokes now. We're doing like really genuine and creative.
Also, things that are, like, really affecting people.
Yeah, and honesty, like, talking about, vulnerability. Like, right, yeah. And I think that stuff is so funny, and it doesn't hurt anybody. And maybe Cards Against Humanity stuff doesn't hurt people, but it has the potential to.
Yeah, if somebody really didn't want to hear about, for example, the Holocaust.
Sure, for like 40 a number cards. Of good reasons. Yeah.
And so, it approaches that line that, like, I don't have the energy to, like, try to figure out of less, like, what's making light of it and what's making fun of it.
Yeah.
And what's the difference between the two words?
Right, and you have to be totally aligned with everyone that you're absolutely. With. Absolutely.
And because nobody would ever want to play a card that would really offend somebody.
Yeah. And so I think, like, the comedy that I see now doesn't run the risk of doing that because it's all about yourself being vulnerable.
Yeah, the wholesome memes.
Even, like, more negative things about, like, being so socially awkward, I see a ton of humor surrounding that, like being so nervous about stuff, like social anxieties that you have whenever, not you, one has.
You generally, yeah.
When they talk to people, and then that, like, resonates with everybody because they're like, I thought that too. Like, my sister, who is hilarious, is, like, very socially weird, and she's, like, hyper aware of how, like, sweaty her hands are all the time, and she, like, talks about it when she's nervous too, so people go to shake her hand and she's like, sorry, I just my hands are, no, it's okay, I must have touched something wet. and so I think, like, that sort of thing is so funny, and it hurts nobody to just talk about, like, where you're vulnerable.
Yeah, because I think about it, and I'm just like, I keep hand sanitizer at my desk so that when I feel like my hands are getting sweaty. And it's not a self situation, but it's like a sweaty hand situation.
But it's so, like, personal that, like, nobody else is there doing that. But then when you share that with people, they're like, oh, yeah, I should do that. Just, like, thoughts that you always have that are very personal. I think it's funny to be... I remember hearing a comedian... Oh, God, I don't even know if it was somebody that famous, but just talking about, like, being in the shower and racing hairs. And he's like, you know how hairs are stuck to the wall and then the water hits them and then you just race which one will get to the bottom faster.
My first thought is, they always move so fast, how can you tell?
Yeah, I don't know. You gotta point the shower in a different direction.
Or you but do anyway. That thing where you, like, have the water at your back and you, like, put your hand and it rolls down your arm off your pinky.
Yeah, so you can direct it. Yeah. And I think that shit is so funny. Because nobody's there.
Nobody's there to see that.
Right, and everyone has maybe tried it.
You knew exactly what I was talking about with this thing.
Yeah.
And people listening are like, I can't see it, but I get it.
But I think, you put on your bath socks. you put on your bath socks and you just, you know, direct the water. I don't know. I think that's a better place, I think, to approach jokes because it doesn't have the potential. I think it's harder because it's not about shock value. It's about putting yourself out there. So I think laughing at the same things is a very
absolutely
deep thing.
I'll even extend it to, I guess the thought I have is, like, with a partner, or I'll step back. With a friend, with somebody you spend time with, like, one-on-one time, like, if, like, Anthony and I, like, watch a show the other day, like, if we were watching a comedy show, like, you want to be able to share those moments. You don't want to be, like, one person, like, oh, my God, that was hilarious, and another person just, like, I don't know, I'm here, we're watching a thing, whatever.
Yeah. That said, when other people think stuff is funny that I don't think is funny... I think only the most wonderful things. I always think, like, and I say this to Kale all the time, but just, like, I'm like, I have this soundtrack of What a Wonderful World that starts playing, or whenever, like, a friend of mine is like, isn't that person so gorgeous? And I'm like, ew. Even if I have that thought, I'm like, wow, there's somebody for everybody. I just think it's so interesting that
there's somebody. It's for everybody.
Like I can't imagine why somebody would think that was funny, but then I'm sort of like, isn't that nice?
That somebody that, does, like, find that funny.
Right. And I'm like, it's not me, but that's so beautiful that other people think that's nice.
The only thought I have is when I don't laugh at a joke, I'm just like, My head, I'm like, joke detected. But my response is just like,
joke failed.
Joke failed. Executing failed joke.
I wish I was a better audience member. I'm not like a big laugher. I don't know why. I wish I was.
I'm kind of the same.
But sometimes I'm like, that was very good. Well, that was very funny.
And I hate to say this because this sounds so stupid, but like doing comedy so much, like it's, I feel like it's hard. I've seen it's hard to make comedians laugh. Like anyone who does funny, mm-hmm. like you gotta surprise them because they're thinking the same thing. Like if I'm watching improv and I'll remove myself, like if I'm performing, I know people are watching in the audience who are about to like perform or they yeah. do perform. It's just like, I could hit you something you don't expect because you're thinking exactly the same way I'm thinking right now.
Yeah, do you think knowing more about, like, the format of how improv games work or how comedy or, like, stand-up is laid out, do you think that ruins some of the magic where you're like, I know that technique?
Well, I'd say that, like I said, with like, so for example, let's say I'm watching, we'll use Dollar Store Bullshit as an example, mm-hmm. a team I've seen a bunch of. I know each person, I know how they kind of play and think, and I know Pete pretty well, and I know Anthony very well. He's like the person I perform with the most. Mm-hmm. So like when I see them on stage and I know their format, so I know what scene they're trying to do and I know where they are. And yeah. I know I've watched the set. I know what they're thinking, and the fact that I don't have to act in it, I can see more of how they're kind of going. Like yeah. I know Anthony's going to want to do this move. Yeah. And I know like this is what I would do. It's mostly this is what I would do.
Well, but are you still able to think it's funny?
I think the thing is it has to be something, one, I don't expect or I can't do. Yeah. Like, sometimes when I watch Big Bosses, I'm just like, how the fuck still? How can yeah. you fucking do that? They yeah. had this one set where they did like this.
Well, they write the script and memorize it. Basically, and then they yeah. do all the choreography.
I always say that the best improv, when it looks scripted.
Yeah.
If I go up to you after a show and I'm like, that looked scripted, it means that was so good you could not have just made that shit yeah. up. I don't think it necessarily ruins the magic. I just think that a lot of stuff is more, I get this. Joke detected. Yeah. I got it. I see exactly what you're doing. I think it's great. Great move. I loved it, but nothing's coming out. But I will say I am a generous laugher because I do just enjoy watching my friends be yeah. silly. And I think maybe knowing the people and maybe knowing it sometimes might actually make it even funnier.
Yeah.
It's like, one of the things in Patterns is kind of like, there's like a kind of teaching thing where it's just like the first time it's random, the second time it's purposeful, and the third time it's expected.
Mm-hmm.
So like when it's expected, if I'm expecting it, I'm going to still love it.
It's the best. It's exactly. the best, I would say, as a frequent audience member, when you know what's going to happen. Because you feel like a genius.
Yeah.
Like, I figured this out.
You've seen enough improv.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know any of the right vocabulary, but I am like, that part where everyone always does this thing, I'm like, I don't get it. But there's a name for it. But I have, like, picked some stuff out that I will notice. It doesn't really take me out of it.
It kind of,
but
like,
sometimes I'm like, why do they keep doing, like, whenever a team picks the format, I'm sometimes yeah. like, that's weird that they have to adhere to it because they don't seem to be liking it or something. Like,
ooh.
Because I'm an audience member. I'm a frequent audience member. I sometimes notice that where I'm like, I've been trying to make that work. And not that it like doesn't work, but that it is weird. So mainly I'm talking about, and I still don't know the name for it, when everybody is on and they're all standing at the front reacting somewhat independently to.
Oh, hey, everybody. Someone comes on and says like a problem, yeah. and then everyone comes on and has like a disparate thing. I feel like you're
nothing ever happens.
I feel like you're thinking of detective because our hey everybody's are kind of trash.
Those what?
Whenever
you have the crime.
No, that's fun. I love that. That's our intro.
Okay.
Because we would perform the same nights as radio. Every now and then we just pop a scene and. Oh, thank you. How long do you think we've been talking for?
100 years.
No, genuinely.
I don't know. Interestingly, I'm terrible at estimating, but it's probably been too long. I can't see anything. But.
No, there's no telling on that. We are about to wrap.
Great.
We're at 2 hours.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
We don't know each other. We have so much to catch up on.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think you would really drink these, but I'm just my piece off. Oh,
if you're leaving them, I'm keeping
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm leaving them, and you can drink. I just meant I know you're not going to drink them right now.
Oh no, I cannot. It's Thursday.
Yeah, and they're really dense.
I liked it.
Thank you.
I liked it. I would.
It's a limited edition.
Yeah, I know. I'm happy to drink these again.
It's really odd. If you pour it into a glass, you'll be like,
I'm very much excited.
Much weirder than I expected.
I don't normally use glasses, but I will definitely try it because that is murky.
Yeah.
There's no light coming through this thing.
Yeah. And then there actually is some sediment. Oh, no.
Some sediment? I've done,
yeah. Well, that's because it's impossible to like filter out all of the
interesting
grains or whatever.
I'll finish.
I'm so sorry. No, dumped beer on the floor.
You're sorry. Not the first.
To narrate.
I will finish my thought. Detective tries to do Hey Everybody's, where everyone kind of comes on, and it's supposed to be, the idea with the Hey Everybody is it's supposed to be chaos, and then the sequence order makes it fun, and everyone kind of have their own thought. Mm-hmm. We're bad at it. We're very bad at it. And I feel like that's what you were talking about.
What does that mean when you're bad at it, though?
We, like you said, it doesn't really go anywhere. Like, we don't really adhere to what makes that particular thing funny.
I think what happens that I notice as a audience member or a frequent, I don't know really, but, if it's that I've seen it a lot or I just don't generally get it, is that
it hasn't hit with you ever.
It doesn't end. That's when you can tell when it ends with like a silence and everyone just looks at each other and then they just leave.
Yeah, that's definitely like, Detective Hey Everybody.
Really, like, I don't really get it. Because sometimes somebody says one funny thing and then I'm like, okay, it's worth it.
You got one chuckle.
To bring up the only thing that I'm like critical of, but that's one thing that I have said.
No, that's
real.
And
I like describe it because I don't know what it's called. But I like can kind of pick up on the patterns, and that's one where I'm like, I don't know
what the fuck they're doing.
Everyone's always like, it smells weird, and then they're like, it smells weird, and then they're like, it does smell weird. They're like, it smells strange in here. And that's it. And then it
That sounds like a one-person scene.
No, every single person on this
has the same opinion.
Maybe not. And maybe one person's like says something really outlandish.
Okay, yeah, that's a Hey Everybody. You're talking about the detective for sure.
I don't remember the teams.
No, detective is my team.
Oh, no, I know. I know you're on the... Oh, yeah. I don't remember. I'm not saying that game in your team specifically. I'm putting the cheese away.
How do you feel this went? What did you expect?
What did I expect? I don't know. I guess I try to not expect anything. I'm actually super, like, busy this week, so I didn't have time to worry about this, which is nice.
I will say we did plan this a week in advance, so.
Is that a lot of time in advance?
That's a lot of time, yeah. Okay. Most times it's like a day or two.
Okay.
Yeah,
we planned this well in advance, because I texted really you today because I was like, oh, I should have, like, confirmed, like, an adult.
I was reading a post on Reddit, and it was like, remember, it was like, what things used to happen that don't happen anymore, and one of them was like, remember when you used to make plans with somebody and then you wouldn't check in and you'd show up and they would also show up? And
that's
that was
so nice.
So I was actually prepared to like let that kind of happen. Just see what would happen. Just like, what happens this time? Because I don't think Lori is the kind of person to bail.
That's good.
And if you did bail, I feel like you would have like hit me up for sure. So
that's good.
I wasn't like worried about it.
Yeah, I think it's hard if you don't know somebody for a long time. Like, you can expect that they remember. But it was in advance.
It's like a full week.
Today, yeah.
Because y'all came, if I remember, like, last week, Monday. It was like a Monday.
Yeah, and when I'm busy, I make plans in the distant future, and I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll do it. Like, that's never going to happen. There's never going to be a November whatever it is now. First. And so I'm like, perfect, yeah, I will.
Yeah,
I'll commit to anything, and then like a week goes by, and I'm like, oh, that was...
I have no time for that.
It's now.
I have 400 things to do with it.
But I did not have any expectations. I wanted to make a lot of... I wish I had been as prepared as Chris, although that was too prepared. I just thought it was so funny.
He was at my house 2 hours before that show started.
Oh, just preparing a meal.
We cooked a meal together, and it's actually recorded somewhere. I was supposed to upload the video, and I never did, because I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this.
Yeah, it's a little much, Chris.
It was delicious. He brought duck.
Yeah, he's very fancy.
It was a lot, but it was definitely worth it.
Yeah.
It was honestly, it was a very crazy day. It was a big, it was a lot that day.
Planned it all out.
Yeah. You can,
knife.
You can dump the crumbs.
I'm going to leave my crumbs.
Yeah. Do it right on this and I'll take care of that.
Okay. Great.
So yeah, is there anything you want to talk about that we didn't get to?
Oh God, no. I have no idea. Oh yeah, so I guess I just didn't have any expectations, so I don't feel like I missed anything.
Good. Well, you are the longest episode I've had in since season one, episode 22.
Well, that will buffer us from too many people listening.
I will say that people see the two and they're like, ooh, that's a lot of time.
That's good. I had some time to kill. What time is it now?
8:26 or 8:29.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm going to go to Maymont.
Is Kale there?
Mm-hmm. You want to go? They're lighting up the Japanese garden and they are driving people on golf carts, and we can go anytime between now and 9:30.
Interesting. Well, let's say goodbye and then we'll figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah, you have to. My new way to end the show is to make people say goodbye. So
I just say goodbye.
However you say goodbye.
Goodbye. Am I a vacation?